Starting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. Many political and economic analysts continue to express diverse opinions on the President's State of the Nation address in Parliament yesterday. Panelists on Radio Ghana's current affairs program, Behind the News, reinforced the President's call for the country to move to full middle income status. A staffer at the presidency, Dr. Kwesa White, said the President has shown that the country is fast approaching full middle income status. According to him, Ghanaians must rally behind the President to achieve this dream. Dr. White was of the view that one area the people can help to realize this is to begin to develop tastes and preferences for locally produced goods.
As a way of demonstrating his seriousness and commitment to this, he basically started by saying, we will incentivize certain local companies or local companies in certain strategic areas now and ensure that certain items that we already import, we will produce them here in SS and restrain or constrain the importation of rice, maize, wheat, meat, fish, and so on and so forth. These are things that are produced over here and can easily be produced over here in larger quantities to meet the market demands over here. Now, I think one of the crucial points that the President was making in that is that if indeed we are incentivizing Ghanaian entrepreneurs and businessmen to actually produce this, then we as Ghanaian consumers must learn to develop the taste for these products.
But talking about the economy, when the President said in the coming weeks or months, the economy will bounce back. Someone will ask, what has he seen that we have not seen?
More often than not, presidents have access to information and data that we don't have access to. You will recall that in the State of the Nation address, President had indicated that he has met with series of business people in the private sector in the last several weeks. The idea is to get a sense of what they are feeling with the nature of the economy now, invite ideas as to what we can do best, and build a consensus and convergence and support for what he intends to do. So the President may be seeing a lot, but I think that he also wants Ghanaians to know that change does not come easy, and every change comes with a price. Whatever changes are being introduced by the government will necessarily disrupt the status quo. What it means is that some people may be negatively affected, others may be positively affected. But even in the case where people are negatively affected, it is possible to know that there are opportunities within the disruption, and those people can grab those opportunities and make better lives for themselves.
For his part, the president of the Ghana Chamber of Commerce, Dr. Sefe Jeba, said despite the fact that the address looks promising, the president must make sure to implement them. He said the president must motivate private businesses to be able to play the role expected of them to help the economy.
Wonderful presentation, but for me, it is about implementation. How those promises, those words that the president has assured us, how they've implemented for us to be able to move on. Because if I look at, let's say, the president's first address of building 200 schools, about a quarter of the time is already gone. Nothing has been done. So how do we fix the 200 within the next less than 3 years ahead of us? So in the same way, when we look at the issues, and I think we can have delivery, it's perfect. But sometimes we begin to think whether they are just promises or the testament is going to make sure those things are implemented. If we're able to do that, perfect. So we are looking for government to support private sector. We are looking for government to give us enabling environment to be able to produce. But the things that people are saying that Ghanaians are not consuming made in Ghana goods, the goods are even not there. If the things are not there, for us as business people, we'll be compelled to import to put pressure on the city to be able to make our living. So the fact is that if the private sector, those into manufacturing, are well motivated and supported, they will definitely produce, and we will find it very easy for our people to advise them to buy and sell made in Ghana goods.
That was President of Ghana Chamber of Commerce, Sefe Jeba.
The minority leader of HA, Mensah Bonsu, says the State of the Nation address was a mixed bag of the real issues and businesses as usual. Speaking on Behind the News, he said President Mahama did not present formidable panacea to cure the economic challenges of the country. Mr. Che Mensah Bonsu maintained that as a first step, strict financial discipline must be observed to prevent overexpenditure, among others.
A lecturer at the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana, Dr. Seydou Alidou, says he's impressed with the President's State of the Nation address because it captured most of the realities in the country. In an interview with Radio Ghana, he said President Mahama painted the actual picture of happenings and how government intends to address them, but was quick to add that some of the solutions are unrealistic. Dr. Alidou cited some issues in the education and land sectors that ought to be looked at.
I believe the State of the Nation was able to, at least some extent, capture most of the realities that has been occurring for the past 1 year since the 2013 State of the Nation address was delivered. And I'm specifically happy because most of the issues that we face, the President has been able to admit that we face those specific challenges in the specific sectors that they can be found. That admission is good, and it is the beginning of the solution for those particular challenges.
Dr. Alidou lauded the President for decentralizing cabinet meetings. He said the move is important as it offers the public more opportunity to be involved in governance. Dr. Alidou urged government to empower the citizenry as a way of galvanizing support for the much clamored for decentralization in our body politic.
President John Dramani Mahama has described the recent spate of demolition of buildings and other structures as too harsh and inhuman. He has therefore tasked the Ministers of Lands and Natural Resources, the Interior and Local Government and Rural Development to develop guidelines for demolition in line with the law. The President announced this when he addressed Parliament on the State of the Nation in Accra. He said indiscipline among state institutions is becoming endemic and public officers will from now on be held accountable for their actions, Seth Aya reports.
In recent times, claims and counterclaims of ownership of pieces of land across the country have resulted in demolition of structures, rendering people homeless, with years of investment going down the drain. President Mahama stated that officials in public institutions who condone and connive with people to give false legitimacy to land will not go scot-free.
Indiscipline and lawlessness are fast becoming a part of our institutional fabric. They take the form of encroachment of public land, sale of the same plot of land to multiple buyers, armed land guards wreaking violence on innocent people. All these problems are becoming endemic in our society and are being exacerbated by our growing urbanization. Part of the problem is associated with the negligence of heads of public institutions whose mandate it is to regulate these practices. In some cases, these very institutions condone and connive with the offenders, thereby appearing to provide legitimacy to their actions. Recently, there has been a spate of demolition, some ordered by the courts and others carried out by state agencies to evict squatters or encroachers from public lands. Ultimately, these demolitions create hardship for our citizens. Public institutions have a responsibility to act in a timely manner in protecting state-owned lands and must do so. It doesn't help to go to sleep on one's rights only to suddenly awake one day and seek to enforce those rights by measures as drastic as demolition.
On internal security, President Mahama said the presence of the police at vantage points as well as night and day patrols have resulted in a reduction in crime. These measures, he said, will be extended to other parts of the country.
Currently, the strength of the police service has increased from 29,117 in 2012 to 32,117 this year. That is not all. Government has acquired mobile clinics for the police, 6 marine police speedboats, 14 Maverick armored vehicles for crowd control, communications equipment to aid operations, and more than 1,000 vehicles to enhance their mobility. The fight against crime is being vigorously pursued by our security services. In pursuit of this, the Ghana Police Service, with the approval of government, started the visibility and accessibility patrols alongside community policing, tent city systems, and street policing strategies. I am happy to report that there has been a steady reduction in crime with the introduction of the police visibility patrols. The police patrols' presence has also positively impacted on the flow of vehicle traffic in Accra and Kumasi. These initiatives were meant to bring the service of the police closer to the people.
According to President Mahama, from a hopeless situation, the Ghana Armed Forces have seen a dramatic improvement in equipment and morale to deliver on its mandate.
Despite the esteem in which our armed forces are held, the equipment and logistics position of the armed forces was very pathetic. Lack of airplanes and helicopters, lack of naval vessels, lack of armored personnel carriers, lack of infantry fighting vehicles, and lack of engineering equipment caused our men and women in uniform to become the most ingenious improvisers you could ever find. This situation has dramatically changed. Our waters are safer and are kept safe from pirates because the Navy has received 7 new vessels. The Air Force role in ensuring national security and safety has been enhanced by the acquisition of CASA troop transport aircraft. Our territorial integrity is ensured by the operation of Diamond surveillance and patrol aircraft. Medical evacuation and transport of troops has been enhanced by the acquisition of MI-17 heavy lift helicopters.
The president said the fight against the traffic in and use of narcotics and illicit drugs remains a priority of the government. He said more personnel are being trained and new offices of the Narcotics Control Board will soon be opened across the country.
High on government's priority is the fight against trafficking in and the use of illicit drugs. Beyond taking steps to improve public education, our security agencies have stepped up their operations in the fight against the abuse of and trafficking in narcotics. Last year, NACOP facilitated the arrest of traffickers and the seizure of several kilos of various illicit drugs, including a recent case of 414 kilograms of cocaine with an approximate street value of 115 million Ghana cedis. As part of our strategy to arrest the drug menace, the NACOP has been facilitated to open 8 additional regional offices for which they have recruited 250 personnel who are currently undergoing training. Government has also initiated a draft narcotics control bill to replace PNDC Law 236, which established the Narcotics Control Board.
The president announced that the Chamber of Parliament will be reconfigured and the rehabilitated Job 600 will soon be ready and handed over to the House to serve as offices for members. He said Ghana's foreign policy remains unchanged and will continue to be integral to the transformation of the country.
In 2013, we were instrumental in the successful efforts of ECOWAS and the international community to achieve a peaceful resolution of the conflict in Mali. We continue to be actively engaged in several peacekeeping initiatives in the region and around the world. Our people have provided us full support for these initiatives, and our citizens are proud to belong to a nation that helps in the resolution of conflict and the promotion of democracy across our continent. As the focus of this government is on the transformation of our economic structures, we are actively engaged with our neighbors in strengthening regional integration. A key part of this agenda relates to the very themes I have enumerated for our domestic economic growth, namely strategic infrastructure, energy, improved governance, and employment. Ghana will continue to champion regional integration and African unity. We see the transformation of Ghana's economic structure as integrally linked to the emergence and fortunes of a viable West African market.
The president made a clarion call to Ghanaians to rally behind the government and use the strength unity provides to build a better Ghana.
In order for it to be thorough and successful, this transformational journey we are about to undertake will require the support and participation of all Ghanaians. In 2013, during my end of year meeting with the Council of State, members were unanimous in bemoaning what seems to be a falling sense of selflessness and patriotism within our society. I'm inclined to believe that those traits and values that led us to our liberation back then were passed down as gifts from one generation of Ghanaian to the next. The world loves Ghana because we also love Ghana. But the instant we allow ourselves to fall prey to the pettiness of politics and the small-mindedness of doomsayers and people who actively wish for the failure of any action or policy intended to lift Ghana up, we turn our backs on that love, and in so doing, we betray our own homeland.
President Mahama said the National Peace Council will be resourced to deliver on its mandate. Seth Iyia, reporting for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, and the major stories. Political and economic analysts expressed diverse opinions on President's State of the Nation address. Winner-takes-all syndrome identified as major hindrance to Ghana's multi-party democracy. GBC to launch 4 of 6 new digital TV channels today. Fire guards part of Kumasi Central Market. 50 students killed in northeastern Nigeria by Boko Haram Islamic group. Ugandan government assures homosexuals they will not be discriminated against accessing health care. And British Foreign Secretary calls for an end to rape as weapon of war.
Meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news continues. A former Director General of the Ghana Health Service and a fellow of the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences, Professor Jimambedua Kosa, says despite 22 years of uninterrupted multi-party democracy in Ghana, the winner-takes-all syndrome has destroyed the beauty and true essence of democracy. On day 2 of the J.B. Dankwa Memorial Lectures in Accra, Professor Akosa described the winner-takes-all mentality and the dye-in-the-wool trick adopted by politicians as a cheap political strategy to obtain votes. He was emphatic that this is a selfish act which must be tackled with all seriousness. Irabnapa has the details.
Flanked by 4 council members of the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences, Professor Jimambedua Kosa, in addressing the theme, Politics of Ghana Today, said, "It is unfortunate that winning political contest in Ghana is not espousing fresh ideas that would improve the general welfare of the people, but rather the inducement of the poor electorate with money and in kind." To Professor Akosa, money has unfortunately become the center of Ghana's political experiment, and this has robbed the country of many fine brains who could have contributed significantly to the political cause.
The election could be described as almost getting out of hand, when in certain markets, even sellers of perishable goods would not want to sell to anybody who they suspect might be from the opposite side of the political divide. Even if the tribal marriages have not been left out of this polarization. Tribe and politics should not be better. But was that the case in the caucus? There's no way this country, Ghana, can develop under such trying and polarized public courses. Polarization, I dare say, starts and has been a source of civil war in many countries.
Vice President of the Academy, Professor Ababentel Andam, said Ghana is losing out at each turn while foreigners benefit. She described Ghana's trade policy as too liberalized, depriving the people of knowledge and skills and making them poorer and polarized.
Arabna Pahez reports.
The Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, GBC, Major Albert Donchebe, has assured Ghanaians of more quality and entertaining programs as it launches 4 of 6 new digital television channels today. Speaking to Radio Ghana ahead of the launch, Major Donchebe said the introduction of the new channels forms part of efforts to meet international communication standards by moving from analog to digital television. He spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
It's simply an opportunity for us to showcase to our countrymen what we in GBC are capable of. That is, in spite of a shortfall in funding and tight resources, we are able to increase productivity. We are able to grow from 1 channel to 6 channels.
Why has it become important to launch this digital platform?
You will understand that the International Telecommunications Union in Geneva in 2006 passed a resolution admonishing all countries to shift to a digital platform by June 2015. Now, Ghana has been progressively putting in place measures to ensure that we meet this deadline. And so we in GBC are showing the way. And we expect that this country will migrate from the analog to digital by December 31st, 2014. So we in GBC, as the pace setters, are taking the lead. Every other television station in Ghana will go digital by that date.
If an individual does not have a digital TV, how does he or she access these channels?
Currently, the digital infrastructure is only available in Accra and in Kumasi. And so you will be able to access our channels in Accra and very shortly in Kumasi. But then next month, March, a contract has been issued for the construction of a digital platform across the whole country. And we expect that there will be gradual expansion of the network to all the regional capitals. And come 31st December 2014, the whole country will be fully digital.
So what should we expect tomorrow?
Tomorrow, we are going to launch these channels. We would have loved to have all Ghanaians in our compound. Unfortunately, it is too small. But since we are going to carry this launch live, we will appeal to all Ghanaians to take a seat by their television set and watch the launch. Incidentally, the movers and shakers in Ghana, in broadcasting, and in our national life will all be in GVC, and we'll take GVC from analog to digital. Incidentally, again, GTV will be 50 years next year. So I think it is a propitious moment. It is good that we are moving from analog to digital just when we are about to become a mature old man.
Director General of GBC, Major Albert Donchebe, talking to Agatha Asamoah.
A lead economist of the World Bank, Dean Filmer, has attributed lack of quality education to teacher absenteeism. He said much needs to be done to address this attitude in the education sector. According to him, it is important that the youth are well supported and prepared for the job market through skills training. Mr. Filmer said productivity in the education sector would enhance economic growth. He was speaking via video conference on a report on youth employment in sub-Saharan Africa in Accra. Na Atue Soa and Constance Asantewa sat in for Radio Ghana.
The youth employment report is based on building skills through improving the quality of education as well as behavioral and business skills. The report also centered on labor-intensive enterprises which could absorb new entrants with education into wage jobs. The lead economist of the World Bank, Dion Filmer, said the percentage of youth unable to read in sub-Saharan Africa is alarming. He added that there has been severe shortfalls in the delivery of quality education, hence the need for solutions to be given priority. He emphasized that employment agenda begins with education, which provides more opportunities to the youth. He therefore called for promotion of stronger foundation for skills development. The conference brought together over 50 participants from Ghana, Sierra Leone, and Liberia.
Na Atue Soa and Constance Asantewa are reporting.
Fire has gutted parts of the Kumasi Central Market. The fire, which started about 1:30 a.m. this morning, destroyed properties worth millions of Ghana cedis. About 100 stores have been affected. Traders who spoke to Radio Ghana said that they suspect the fire was caused by electrical fault. Personnel of the Ghana National Fire Service are still at the scene, though the fire is under control. Thomas Nsueje is our correspondent in Kumasi, and he reports.
Fire gutted the Kumasi Central Market at the session of this last night, and so the men of the National Fire Service are still fighting it, but we want to believe that it is slightly brought under control. We learned the fire started around 1:30 a.m. this morning, and lo and behold, the men of the fire service did their best to almost manage to organize all their stations in Kumasi to come and help combat the fire, which is now partially under control.
Which market is that?
Central Market.
I'm not getting the impression that we have two different fires.
Yes, two different fires. Exactly. About 3 miles away from Kumasi. But that one is at somebody's house. And then they managed to control that one. But while they were there around 1 o'clock, they were reported that there's another big one here at the Kumasi Central Market. So they have to organize and come back.
Thomas Nsueje is our Ashanti Regional Correspondent.
A fire safety campaign to educate market women on how to prevent fires has been launched in Accra. As part of the campaign, officers from the Ghana National Fire Service, ECG, and the Greater Accra Regional Coordinating Council will visit markets in the capital to take stores and shop owners through basic fire safety tips to preserve lives and property during fire outbreaks. The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Julius Debra, who launched the campaign, promised to sustain it and asked the media to assist.
In foreign news, At least 50 students have been killed as the suspected Boko Haram militants attacked a boarding school in northeastern Nigeria. 11 others were seriously injured. Sources say the remote school in Yobe State was attacked overnight when students were in their dormitories. The governor of Yobe State has criticized the country's security agencies for not responding to the attack on time.
Uganda's health minister says homosexuals will not be discriminated against when accessing health care, despite the introduction of a tough new anti-gay law. Dr. Ruhakana Rugunda told newsmen that all people, gay or otherwise, will get full access to medical treatment. Aid charities have warned that the new bill will have what they described as disastrous effects on the country's response to HIV.
British Foreign Secretary William Hague has called for an end to rape as a weapon of war. Speaking in Washington, he announced that a global summit in London in June would ask 140 nations to include action against sexual violence into military training and doctrine. Mr. Hague says sexual violence is the last thing to be taken into account by those ending wars or rebuilding nations.
To end the news, the main points again. Political and economic analysts continue to express diverse opinions on the President's State of the Nation address in Parliament yesterday. Presidential staffer Dr. Kwesa White said the President has shown that the country is fast approaching full middle-income status, while the minority leader Osei Mensa Bonsu believes the State of the Nation address was a mixed bag of the real issues and business as usual. Fire has gutted parts of the Kumasi Central Market. The fire, which started at about 1:30 a.m. this morning, destroyed property worth millions of Ghana cedis. And British Foreign Secretary William Hague has called for an end to rape as a weapon of war. The news was presented by Mercy Soa
and Baba Otu in Accra.